She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
There's a term that's been floating around that you might have heard of. It is called orthorexia. It has to do with when healthy eating becomes a fixation. Too much of a good thing, I would say. I think I have a bit of this. And we're going to learn more with the wonderful Ashley Cuff, who joins us here twice a month on Naturally Savvy. Hi, Ashley.
Hello.
It's so good to have you on. Why don't you jump in and define orthorexia a little bit more, and then we can see whether I'm alone in, in my fixation.
Yeah. And, you know, we can giggle about it, but I do think that, you know, as soon as we put rexia at the end of anything, we kind of move from a place I think is really important to thinking about something that may be teetering on the edge of imbalance to all the way in the space of a clinical diagnosis and something that needs medical attention. And so I think that we do.
Oh, I completely agree. I think my nervousness was more of my own discomfort with looking at this and saying, geez, can this actually be something that I have?
Right. And I think that, you know, as we talk, I think people, like I've been hearing people more frequently actually brand themselves with it in the same way that I recall even in college and, right after college, people being like, oh, I'm bulimic, like in a funny way. And they're like, needing to be clear that that wasn't funny, you know. So I think I just put in that framework. And what we are talking about is this concept of, can the quest of perfect eating and perfect healthy eating actually become an obsession that it makes you perfectly unhealthy? And 100%. I think it all plays around the same, it's all derived from the same sense of when we feel that we are out of control in some, or we fear being out of control, and we identify something that can give us control. If we abuse that ability to control something, it can become very unhealthy. And the rationale for it is, we can understand it in many aspects of our lives, is that it can contribute to stress, unnecessary stress, which we know the health consequences of that. And number two, it can actually impair our ability to enjoy our life and participate in our life fully. So when health becomes, I've worked with clients before where their pursuit for eating perfectly, which I'll get to in a moment what that is, actually keeps them from having relationships. It actually impairs their performance at work. It actually, so these sorts of things that both psychologically and physiologically, and then also in this other area of my, quality of life, all of those can really fall and have negative impacts. And
I remember when I first moved to Toronto, I remember that I was, there was a lot of changes going on, and I was in my 20s. And I remember I wouldn't leave the house because I was afraid, and I was big into dieting. This is way before I found natural health, way before I was a nutritionist. And I wouldn't leave the house because I was afraid there would be nothing for me to eat out of the house. Because at that point, I was weighing everything. I was looking at calories. I mean, so different than what I do today. And I remember it became such an obsession that it really started to interfere with my social life. It started to interfere with my daily routine. So my question for you is, how do we know, like, when that bounce? So I gave my example, but give us some other examples of how, when it becomes, from regular healthy eating to an obsession, to a way that we know that there's some type of disorder.
Yeah. So first of all, there is no perfect when it comes to health. There is nothing, because perfect and achieving perfection would mean that we get somewhere, right? When something is perfect, it's finished, it's like the end of the road. And health is dynamic. And so we can't, from a nutrition standpoint, there is no such thing as perfect. So on the one hand, something very good has been happening, and that is that we've been realizing, I think as a society, that we actually know what better nutrition looks like. But the problem is that in the pursuit of achieving that, we have decided that there is a perfect, that we can achieve a perfect. And so where I think we arrive at a problem is if we are in that obsessing over the perfect. And that, how do we identify that? Well, I think some of the things that I was mentioning before are going to be key factors. And this is where the problem really comes for those of us that are practitioners to figure out what is the actual what do we use for a diagnosis, right? And that's been the long time struggle with anorexia and bulimia, where we know somebody has a problem, but they don't necessarily fit a specific medical definition. So if the questions that I would like you to ask yourself if you were concerned in this area, number one is, do you believe or do you adhere to a perfect in the nutrition space? And when you do not achieve that perfect, do you berate yourself or punish yourself? And what do those punishments look like? So I think that behavior of good, bad, or perfect, awful is a very important one to look at.
What are some of the common punishments that people give themselves? Is it because I'm just curious, like, is it something they'll eat more, or they'll go off the wagon, or they'll eat unhealthy? Like, what are some of those side effects?
All of the above. So this is where it makes it very difficult. But, you know, a common punishment is, and I was going to lead into the next area, which is what you said, is I'm not going to let myself go to, you know, I'm not going to go to something socially. I'm not going to, and this is where exercise bulimia really came up, about was I realized that if I ate in an imperfect way, I will now try to exercise my way out of that. If I create a further restriction. So if I determine that I did not eat perfectly today, so tomorrow, you know, if today was I was supposed to have one serving of carbohydrate at each eating occasion, tomorrow I am having no carbohydrates because, you know, as a punishment. So there's that part of it. The place that it's harder to recognize is when we are just mean to ourselves, when we beat ourselves up about it. And, you know, a lot of times with my clients when I'm working in this space, I will do, and to be clear, I am not an eating disorder practitioner. I will refer those patients to somebody else, but I do a lot of evaluation. And one of the ways that we arrive at this is to find out, I look at their, we do what we call a mood food journal. And if you're consistently feeling badly, not physically badly, but if you're feeling badly and judgmental of yourself about what you're eating that as not good enough, then that is going to be a key marker for me in that space. Are you interfering is your desire for perfect eating interfering with your normal activities of and quality of life? And again, this is on an individual basis that we have to look at. You know, if you are choosing to not spend time with friends, look, there are healthy ways to do that, especially when you're navigating your relationship space. You know, if you're trying to eat healthier, sometimes we need less time with certain friends, or we need to not be tempted in certain spaces.
Exactly. Emotional
but if
cleansing.
We're, you know, if we're only sitting at home and entering our food into an online food record and we're not going anywhere, that's a totally different story. So there, you know, this is very personal, and it is a difficult subject for sure.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, for example, you know, I'm really into paleo, but I got so over the top with it that if I had any, you know, carb other than fruits or vegetable, I would. I'd beat myself. Oh, I can't believe I did it, this and that. And my husband would be like, hun, you got to go easy on it. You know, don't do it 100%. And then, so the last week I had white rice just a little bit, three times. But for me, that was a big deal, you know, and I had to like let it go and not obsess. And later I'd be like, I can't believe I ate white rice. What did I do to my blood sugar? Crap. And I started thinking of all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, take a deep breath, you know, so you got to work on that.
Well, the reminder in that one is that definitively the worst thing in all of that scenario is going to be the stress around it. So that's going to be your worst one. And I think the other part that's a very important one to consider is that if your food is no longer a source of enjoyment, then that is really going to be, you know, if we get it into this place where it's so, if food was never an enjoyment for you, that's one thing. Certain people are dialed in that way. But if you're making it into something where it actually is a source of, it's almost becoming a weapon or something that you're using against yourself, I think that's really a place that you need to seek help.
I agree. Words of wisdom, Ashley Coff. You can follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley Coff. And her website is ashleycoffapproved.com. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Stay well.